Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ordained Chaplains Podcast. My name is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society University, and this is The Work of the Chaplain, Lesson Number 66. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help those who are interested in serving others through chaplaincy, pastoring, coaching, and counseling to learn the basics of this profession and this ministry. Our work of the chaplain passage of Holy Scripture for this episode is Acts 13:36, which says, "For David served his own generation by the will of God." Are you serving your generation? Our work of the chaplain quote for this episode is from George Washington, President George Washington. He said, "Let vice and immorality of every kind be discouraged as much as possible in your brigade." And as a chaplain is allowed to each regiment, see that the men regularly attend during worship. Gaming of every kind is expressly forbidden as being the foundation of evil and the cause of many a brave and gallant officer's and soldier's ruin. Beloved, in this podcast, we are going through the fine book, The Work of the Chaplain, by Naomi K. Paget and Janet R. McCormick. Our topic today is Chapter 9, Other Chaplain Specialties, Part 1, Campus Chaplains. Ministry on college campuses began with the interest of students who joined together in societies in order to nurture their spiritual side while gaining an education. In 1806, one of the most famous events in the history of student societies was the Haystack Prayer Meeting at Williams College. Soon, ecumenically organized Christian associations led by laity became the forerunners of campus ministry. The major growth in campus chaplaincy occurred following World War II with the return of hundreds of military chaplains. During these early years, campus ministries were overwhelmingly Christian and denominationally developed and supported. Their focus was on discipleship for students of their denomination and evangelistic outreach to others. These campus ministers were typically led by paid ordained staff members of local churches. Most campuses these days, including church-related colleges and universities, have become highly pluralistic places with a developing need for trained professional campus chaplains who were willing and able to minister to the spiritual and religious needs to all students, regardless of their background, faculty, and staff. Ideal chaplaincy reflects an ecumenical or interfaith style in development of services, programs, and personnel, consistency with the kind of religious pluralism found in the interests and needs of the particular university community is essential. The campus chaplain may serve as the minister of the college chapel, but the chaplaincy serves the entire university population, not just the religious community on campus. Let's pray. And before I pray, may I say, in chaplaincy, that's just how it is. So be very wise in what you choose to do. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of the Bible-believing chaplains across this country and around the globe. Lord, help them under the restraints that they are under to present the gospel and to lead people to you and to preach your holy word and to not violate your holy scripture and their conscience, but to stand firm for you and on your word. For your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. And now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. It's called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to him right now, he will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life and that I have broken your commandments and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. and for his sake. Amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you've learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life, for the glory of God.